Welcome everyone to the Brand Fortress HQ podcast. Today we have another Tactics Tuesday where we're going to be talking about hiring freelancers and executive assistants and other members on your team, kind of our experiences with that, some best practices, and I'm sure that we'll also share some of the mistakes along the way. So as we kick this off, I'll actually turn it over to you, Mike. I know you started talking about this before we hit record. Talk to me about, you know, what your current process is and maybe some of the pain points that you were talking about.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I would say that our current process is a work in progress because previous to now, there wasn't a process. It was essentially, you know, I determined that I needed another person on the team. So I would go on to Upwork and start looking for individuals, or maybe I would check, you know, some other sites depending on, you know, how significant the position was. And I was just the guy. Like I don't have anybody who's in charge of that process. I didn't have any, you know, SOPs written up. I didn't have any role profiles written up. There was nothing. You know, it was essentially, I've got a basic idea of what I think I want this person to do, and I go look for them on Upwork, and then I interview people. To be honest, you know, up until now, that process has worked relatively well. Fortunately, we've got a good team. I like the people who are on our team. I have not yet hired an individual that I feel has not been a value add to our company. That being said, I think that one of the problems with not having that process really outlined, right, and having it, you know, on paper and or, you know, in a document form, whatever, and having SOPs set up and whatnot, is that the hiring process becomes slow, it's haphazard, and it doesn't happen when it needs to, because essentially it ends up being a situation where instead of recognizing proactively, you know, that we are going to need or kind of need this new position because there's something else that we need to do, or we've got more work within this one department than we can handle, you know, whatever. It was more so it had to reach a level of critical importance before I would take the time to actually do it, because I'm the guy and I've got all of these other things that I'm doing within the business. And so it would always wait, you know, until it ended up being that situation where, you know, if we don't do it now, like, then we really have a problem. And I don't think that's good. I think if you have that process in place ahead of time and you know what that looks like and you've run through it and you have other people on your team that can actually do it, so you don't have to be a part of the entire process and maybe you're more just the final interview stage, or, you know, maybe a couple of points along the way, you know, you provide some input on the candidates, but somebody else is running that process forward because you have the processes and the SOPs. I think it's more likely that you fill those positions sooner. And I think your company moves faster in that situation. At least that's the theory, you know, that's the way it seems to me moving forward.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of, you know, good things to take away there. And I mean, I feel like this is one of the things that I'm fairly good at. So that I think about the first that you kind of mentioned, which is, you know, looking at getting that person before it's like, you know, critical level. Yeah. So one of the things that I try to do, again, not always successful, but try to do, is look at my current schedule and say, okay, what of what I'm doing, you know, this week and this month, do I not need to be doing anymore? Either because I can find somebody else that I can hire in order to do that, that quite frankly would be, you know, anywhere from, sometimes it's okay if they're only 80% as good as I am, to right, in other cases, quite frankly, they're better than I am because, you know, they really enjoy it, especially if it's something where, you know, it's not my superpower, where yes, I can do it, but I'm never going to be the best in the world. Sometimes once you get to a level where, you know, there's a decent amount of work for that particular position to do, it just makes a lot more sense, especially if it's not something that you're world class at, of finding somebody right, else to do it. But then the other thing, so once you've done that, I think the other thing is, you know, really putting that into, I'm curious, what is a you know, like the job description look like for you when you're putting these positions up?
So in the new process, it's fairly well outlined actually. And, you know, the caveat that I would issue is we haven't yet utilized this process. We're walking into it. So we're at the beginning stages of utilizing this process. I believe that it's going to work out well. But essentially, one of the strongest things I think is, so going back to one of the things that you just said, which is evaluating, and I think the larger your team gets, the more you need to have other people on your team thinking in that same way. So you were mentioning, like, what are the things that are currently on my plate, you know, over the next week or month that I really shouldn't be doing, that somebody else should be doing, who probably will be better than me at it if I hire the right person. Or at a minimum, they'll be better than me because it will be all they're doing. Like, it will be their job. You know, like, one of the things is that I think a lot of times we look at it, we kind of look at how well we do certain things with somewhat rose-colored glasses, because we look at it as, I know what my skill level is in that area and how effectively I could do that process. What we don't do is look at it oftentimes, I think, with more realistic glasses, which is, yeah, I could do it that well if that was my only job. But because it isn't my only job, it's not the only thing I end up doing, I put it off. It doesn't happen as soon as it should. I maybe cut some corners or something here and there because I don't have the time to do it right. And so it's like, yes, I could do it at this level, but the reality is I probably most of the time do it at this level. Is there somebody that I could hire that maybe could split that difference? You know, maybe they could do it better than I am doing it, maybe not as well as I could do it, but if it's better than I am, then that's probably sufficient. You know, so that's the first thing, you know, figure out, you know, where are those bottlenecks that, you know, if I wasn't doing that and I had somebody else on my team who could do it, how effectively does that open our business up, you know, to being more productive, to being more efficient, to build, bringing in more revenue, you know, whatever. And then I would say that then it comes down to setting up, okay, now I figured out what I think it is that I need, you know, like, and you can go to ChatGPT. Like, if you don't know, one of the things I think that's really useful about ChatGPT is if you figure out the things within your day that you shouldn't be doing anymore, or you know, or you think you shouldn't be doing, right? And you should have somebody else. Maybe you don't know what the name of that, you know, that position is. Well, you go to ChatGPT and you say, hey, if I was going to hire somebody for my team to do X, Y, and Z, what would I call that person? What is that position typically called? ChatGPT is going to tell you what that is. Then you can ask ChatGPT, if I hired somebody for XYZ position, what would be likely all of the duties that they would normally do under that position? Because that does help you to flesh that out a little bit, because you might think, okay, I only have these two or three things that I need them to do, right? When it turns out that ChatGPT might give you five or six things that that particular position might normally do within other companies. And you might say, well, yeah, we're not already doing that, but it'd be really cool if we did. And if I'm going to hire that person to do these other things, well, that actually would be a terrific thing for us to hire, because now that same person can do these other things that we're not even doing right now, but we should be. And so then you set out your role profile, you know, based on those things. You know, what does ChatGPT say that position should look like? I think a lot of that is then going to come down to, you know, like, what are the metrics? You know, how are you going to actually assess whether that person is successful? You know, how would you describe success for that person? Like, if you brought them onto your team, what would you want to see within the business? You know, what would the business look like with that person on the team if it was, you know, if they were successful? What are the primary objectives, the things that are the most important things that, you know, that that person's going to need to do? You know, what are their regular activities? Who are they going to be meeting with? You know, who would be subordinate to them? You know, if you're bringing on somebody that might be taking on more of a managerial role, you know, like, who's going to report to them? Who are they going to report to? You know, all of those things you kind of have to build out in that process. I think as you build that out and you start building the role, I think it becomes more obvious, you know, what skill sets that person needs to have. But again, use ChatGPT, man. I mean, that we've been using it pretty extensively in this process to build out that role profile. What sort of skills should they have? What sort of educational background and experiential background should they have? ChatGPT has been a wealth of information, you know, for that. So if you don't know, utilize ChatGPT. It's going to help.
One of the things I want to touch on that you just mentioned is if deciding if that person's going to manage someone. I listened to a podcast last week and it was super interesting what he was talking about. And he said that the podcast host asked what things to keep in mind when you're making your first hire. And the guest said, I would actually apply this rule to the first couple of hires that you make. And regardless of if you have an immediate plan to make this person a manager of someone, when you're choosing that person, pick them based on, can that person manage someone, regardless of if you're planning to right away or not. But right. He said, that's how you'll scale your business a whole lot faster, is if you hire someone that at some point you can add someone underneath that they would be an effective manager. So not just looking at the soft skills, but also can this person manage someone else? And that way you can scale your business a whole lot faster, knowing that all I have to do is add someone that can be managed by this person, as opposed to just the one pulling the buttons and pushing the levers. I thought that was super interesting.
I completely agree with that perspective, honestly. I mean, I don't know what you think, John, but I actually very much agree with that position.
Yeah. So I guess I pause a little bit on that because my experience has been a little bit of a mixed bag, in the sense that if you hire somebody for something very specific where they're an individual contributor and they might be, you know, good as an individual contributor with, you know, very set guidelines, that person is, you know, some people can up level to then managing people, either can or are willing to, because that's kind of the two sides of the equation. Not everybody wants to, you know, manage other people. I mean, I think about my brother, who's a programmer and, you know, was a manager for a very short amount of time and absolutely hated it and would just, he's good as a programmer. He just has no right. interest in managing people. So I think that it makes it a little bit more complicated. It can work. Frankly, I found more success with hiring for specific positions. So basically hiring for what I need right now. And then when that person, you know, when you're ready to have somebody who needs to manage people, then, I mean, I always like to look internally to say, hey, who's doing a really good job, and to see if they would be a good fit. And quite frankly, I put them through a very similar process that I put, you know, somebody outside of the organization that I would hire. So we talked a little bit about what the job requirements are, but I also put them, you know, my process looks a little bit different as far as everybody at that stage. Now, I don't interview everybody from the outside, and I can talk about that a little bit separately here in a minute. But if I'm hiring internally, of having a, you know, a Zoom interview with them where I'm very clear on what the expectations are for the position and what's involved, what the opportunities, and then also what the challenges are for that position. Because I want to give them as clear of indication as possible of what's going to be expected of them. So that way, generally in that interview, my goal is for them to say, hey, this is not for me. Because if I give them that very, you know, kind of unvarnished assessment of what's involved with the job, and they're still like, heck yeah, I want to do this, then the vast majority of the time they work out well and they do a fantastic job. If I give them that, you know, very gritty version of here's what the opportunities are, but here's what the challenges are, and they say, not quite for, you know, this might not be for me, then that's perfect, because now I haven't spent a whole bunch of time training up that person that quite frankly probably isn't going to be a great fit to begin with.
Sorry about that, Mike. One of the things that I find interesting in this conversation is, Mike, you said that you didn't really have a process before. You didn't have any SOPs. You had a need, and a lot of times it was an immediate critical need, and you would go to a platform and find that person. I was very similar in that I did the exact same thing. No SOPs, no hiring processes. And it was when I reached the point of critical mass and needed to hire someone. But I, up until very recently, wasn't successful. The people that I added to my team, I did not have a good experience with. And the one thing that's different between my situation and your situation is the platform that I went to find people on. I used onlinejobs.ph in the beginning because I was trying to save a couple of bucks. And right. to be honest, as I went through that process and as I went through a couple of failed VAs, I actually started looking internal besides, because at first it was like, oh my gosh, this person didn't do that, this person didn't do that. But then right. when I really started to look internal, what I realized is I wasn't ready for a virtual assistant. I wasn't ready for that person, even though I had a need for that person. I wasn't ready to hand things off to a person right. like that. So it was much more my fault than it was their fault. And it took me three tries to finally look at the mirror and say, hey, like, maybe it's you. Like, you've gone through three of them now. They all looked great during the interview. They all sounded great, but then something, the wheels fell off in some kind of a way. So that was the biggest difference for me is, again, first of all, the platform, but second of all, I wasn't ready yet. Like, I didn't have, it's super important. I think what that taught me is that you have to have some sort, not only do you have to have a process for hiring and finding, but you also have to have a process for onboarding. And this is what it looks like to hand off these critical tasks to this person and then measure how effective they are at it. And I had none of that. So I think it's a combination of the platform that I was going to, but more so, I wasn't ready to do that yet. As I wasn't ready as a business owner to hand that stuff off yet, because I didn't have any processes on the other side of it.
Well, and I think too, like, I would absolutely agree. And I've, well, I ran into that situation more so when I was looking for an executive assistant. So, like, I've hired, you know, we hired a customer service person. She's amazing. You know, like, I mean, I hired somebody who's taking care of our inventory and logistics. She's amazing. You know, so, I mean, we've done really well. I hired for the executive assistant position. And to your point, it wasn't just that I didn't have the onboarding process in place, although I would say that that's part of it. Well, it wasn't successful. And I say that not to, like, we still have that person on our team. He's just not doing that job. Like, I shifted him into something else because he's actually a great guy. He's tremendous. But not only was I not ready with an onboarding process of knowing exactly what I wanted them to do and how I was going to transition those things over to that person, I wasn't personally ready to hand over those things. You know, I couldn't let go. And I think that's also a part of that, you know, is like, you might know that you need to bring somebody on to take over some of those things, but until you actually have that kind of come to Jesus moment where you're actually willing to let go of the reins on those things, recognize that some of them might not be done quite as well as you do them, at least in the beginning, as this person's getting up to speed and learning your brand and how you operate and all of those sort of things. Like, if you're not ready to let go of the reins, then you're not ready to hire that person, because it's going to be a failed hire in that situation, because not only do you not have the processes to transition, but you're not actually ready to even implement them, even if you had them. So that would be, you know, I would agree with that. And I think that a lot of, you know, brand owners need to take stock of that and decide whether you're ready, you know, and willing to do that. I would like to go back, though, just briefly to what you were talking about a little while ago and what John, you know, disagreed with, let's say, on the, you know, hiring a managerial quality individual on the front end versus waiting. And I would say that I still, I think, disagree with John's perspective. Now, I would say two things. One, you know, every brand owner is going to have to make those decisions for themselves. And, you know, sometimes it's just a personality thing. Maybe it's what you're good at. You know, like, I mean, if as the brand owner, you know, there's certain things that you're good at that make it easier to do, maybe, say, the way that John does from the bottom up versus from the top down, maybe that ends up being what's successful for you. But I would say that from my perspective, I do like the idea of hiring on. And I guess what I would say is, like, John, the process that you outlined for an internal hiring, you know, mm-hmm. to look for somebody to manage, I feel like if you took essentially that roadmap, you know, and you're outlining, like, this is what I'm looking for, but you applied that externally to that initial hire in that department. Let's say it's inventory and logistics, right? And you don't have anybody doing that right now. Like, you're the only one. But if you have any idea that as a brand, you're going to expand and maybe you're going to go into retail or maybe you're going to do some other things, like, chances are one person is not always going to be able to manage that properly and do it well. And so if you're looking at it long term and saying, I think I might need more than one person there and I'm going to need a manager, let's take what John's outlining there and say, okay, even though the person coming in, it won't be managing right now, I need to interview them like they were. So in other words, first of all, I need to find the person that could do that, that has the skill set and the experience and the temperament of being a manager, you know, of that position, but also had the skill set to just do the job. But then during that interview process, I'm outlining for them and saying, look, today I need you to just do the job. I need you to learn the brand, learn how we do things, flesh out our processes, you know, create efficiencies and get it so that we're really humming along in that department, right? However, as we grow as a brand, I'm going to need you to step up into a managerial position, train a new person to do what you do. And since you're the one who's been doing it for however long it is before we bring that person on, you're going to intimately know that process because essentially you built it out, right? And are you interested and willing to do that? Here's what that would look like. Here's the job description and how it would change once you become a manager, you know, and run that interview process and that whole hiring process with that assumption from the beginning. I think you do bring in that person who not only could be a good manager, but also can be the individual that does that job from the beginning and isn't managing anybody. And I do think the opportunity to scale is actually in the cards then in a much better way, because otherwise then I think you end up with a scenario where, like, let's say we're hiring internally for a manager. Like if I'm looking at my team, I've got a customer service person, I've got a logistics person, I've got somebody who right now is working on the website, but also working on a KPI dashboard for us, you know, and then I've got a marketing manager who, by the way, I originally brought in as a brand manager and recognized that's not what he's best at. He's not a brand manager. He's a marketing manager. And he's actually super stoked that he's no longer the brand manager because it turns out he realized I'm not actually ready to be a brand manager, but a marketing manager, I can do that, right? So, but the point is I have all of those people, right? They're terrific. But let's say now I need, you know, a new department, like a new skill set essentially, right? And I bring somebody in for that. That's a completely new department. And then I decide we need to expand that department. And I'm now looking at my current team for who could be the manager of that person. Well, then essentially I got to take them out of whatever position they're in to have them manage that, or I'm adding duties to their job in order to make that happen. If I move them, then now I got to replace them. So I feel like it ends up with more moving parts than necessary, you know, when if you planned that out from the beginning that way. I don't know. To me, it seems like that's the better approach. Now, in all honesty, that's not what I've done, you know, so I can't say, oh, we've done that and that worked for us. But intuitively to me, that makes a lot of sense. And I think likely going forward, we'll probably look at it much that way.
Yeah, I think that the idea makes a lot of sense. I just, you know, I should clarify where I'm coming from here. So especially, you know, content is a big side of our business in addition to Amazon marketing. And quite frankly, our content team is significantly larger. And so that's where a lot of that experience has come from, in the sense of, I don't think that it's, again, in air quotes, wrong to do it that way. I do think that, you know, a couple of things, I mean, at least in my experience, and again, some people might be more talented than I am. Some people might be less talented when it comes to, you know, the whole hiring and onboarding and, you know, managing people. But what I found is that if you do that, just be prepared that you're going to have to pay, well, not necessarily have to, but you probably will be paying some sort of premium in order to have somebody that comes with that, let's call it expanding capability.
That's fair. I think that's likely true.
So, you know, be prepared to pay accordingly. So that means that you may have to pay a little above, or, you know, significantly above where you would if that, you know, if their only job was customer service, for example, because you want them to be able to expand into other areas. And, you know, quite frankly, before we started this call, you know, I was talking about an executive assistant that I'm in the process of hiring. And, you know, part of that, the individual that I selected there, you know, kind of going a little bit against what I just said, which is he has, I think, a lot of capability beyond just kind of the day-to-day executive assistant roles and responsibilities, which is right. what interests me in him. Now, with that said, I'm okay paying, you know, a small premium for that. I'm not okay paying a large premium for that, because the other experience that I've had is that the reality of it is, especially when you're working with, you know, if these aren't, you know, full-time W-2 US-based positions, is people rotate in and out in a lot of these positions every couple of years because either they upskill or something in their life changes or whatever. And so the reality of, you know, somebody staying at your company for 5 to 10 years and being that kind of super expert, you know, really deep, I don't know if that's realistic anymore. I think there's maybe a few people that'll stick around for that, but the reality of it is that, you know, the shelf life for most, you know, employees and freelancers in a company, even if you treat them well, is probably a couple of years.
So what I learned and what has increased my success rate, having talked about that, is, you know, for me, I started hiring from an agency. VAA is the name of the agency. I saw them at a couple of the conferences, the Amazon conferences. What I love about the agency is that the VA is not an employee of mine. They work for the agency. But what VAA does specifically is that they have training before they're even put out into the marketplace. So they're trained. They've got like 4 or 5 different types of VAs. They have advertised PPC specialists. They have executive assistants. They have social media specialists. But all of them have experience. And that for me, and they have vetted. They're vetted and they have proven experience and they have training very specific to the Amazon platform. Whereas when I was going through onlinejobs.ph, I was having to believe, like I would do searches on keywords and things like that, but I would have to believe what their experience was. And I didn't go out and do the due diligence that the agency was doing on my behalf. So what I loved about the agency is that they weren't employees of mine. And if I had an issue with the VA, they came in and by, you know, they would, the next day I would have a short list of 3 to 4 more that would replace that person. I've had good experience because I think that I've learned a lot, first of all, by going through all those onlinejobs.ph VAs. And now I think I'm better at kind of just judging just by having a conversation with them. But I really like the fact that I don't have to replace that person. But then if that person, like you said, they level up or something happens to them, I don't have to be the one responsible then going out and finding it. And I know that there's a stable of other VAs that have the experience that can hit the ground running, as opposed to me having to go through all of the same onboarding steps that I did before. So that, I think that had a big part of why I'm more successful now. I mean, I'm more successful now. Part of that is because I know this process and I've banged my head up against so many different walls that I've learned how to kind of, you know, limit the effect of that. But having that agency that not only trains them, but vets them, pre-interviewing them, has helped me a lot.
Thanks for tuning into the Brand Fortress HQ podcast. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button and be the first to get new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, where we'll continue to bring you the most actionable insights and strategies for fortifying your brand on Amazon and beyond. If you haven't already, please leave a rating and review. It helps the show grow, which means we can keep bringing you the best of the best each and every week. Finally, get access to our free after-purchase funnel blueprint using the link in the show notes. This full course will transform your Amazon game by showing you how to build and properly utilize a powerful customer list.